Jesus said to his disciples, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Given gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed down, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord. It's very interesting how God will sometimes take one individual who will be instrumental in saving a million or millions of souls, one saint. If you look at the countries that are basically, at least, Catholic in origin, it's usually one person. Today, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And if it weren't for him, we wouldn't have the Catholics in Ireland. Japan, Francis Xavier. India, Francis Xavier. Sri Lanka too, Francis Xavier. One person was instrumental in starting the ball rolling for the conversion of millions of people. How about England? St. Augustine of Canterbury. How about Germany? St. Boniface. How about Oceania? St. Peter Chanel. How about Molokai? The United States has many missionaries. St. Junipero Serra, right? California. Probably some of you, maybe some of you saw the movie Cabrini, okay? I thought it was pretty well done. Cabrini? The United States, especially the New Yorkers, Francis Cabrini. So it's interesting how one individual instrumental in the conversion eventually of millions of people. What would happen if you became a saint? You look very sheepish and very timid. No? St. Patrick. I have a little bit of Irish blood. Okay? So I'm trying to give you a brief summary of this great saint. St. Patrick was not Irish. That will probably shock you. He was born in Britain. He's basically an Englishman. Brought up and raised, at least as a Catholic, but a pretty shabby Catholic at that. So when he was 16, he was taken by the pirates, the Irish pirates, and he was taken to Ireland. And guess there was a petty chieftain that gave him as work to tend the pigs, like the prodigal son. He was tending the puercos, the pigs. And he saw this as penance for his sins, because he said that I didn't obey what the priest preached, and as a result of that, I was taken to Ireland to tend the pigs. But it was providential, because when he was there, his faith went deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. He said he practiced a lot of penance, and during the day hours, he said he prayed as many as 100 times during the day, And he would pray even more at night. So his whole life was dedicated in silence to prayer and fasting and penance. So he was kidnapped at 16. He was there about 6 years. So that would take him to 22. So he decided he would return to his homeland. So he returns to Britain. The people receive him. And then he has an inspiration, a dream, in which he heard a voice saying, "Come back to Ireland." "Come back to Ireland?" "Yes, come back to Ireland." So he believed that this was a divine inspiration. So he decided to prepare himself to become a priest. So he studied many years under the supervision of Saint Germanus, who was a bishop. So he's ready to go. And guess what happened? He wasn't chosen. Who was chosen? Palladius. Remember that name, Palladius. So Palladius ends up in Ireland. He drops dead. So what happens? Germanus sends him to Ireland. So this was his pastoral style, his method. Okay, very interesting. A man of deep prayer. He wasn't a scholar, but he had a lot of practical intelligence. Very practical. So he'd go and talk with the chieftain. So Ireland had a lot, like Italy before its unification, a lot of little cities and towns. And he'd present himself to the king. Then he'd give the king a gift, which the king would always receive. Then he tried to convert the king to Catholicism. But usually they clung to their pagan customs, most of them. But he asked the king for two things. A plot of land on which he could build a church. Then he also asked the king if he could preach Catholicism. And the king said, "Yes, you can." Now, who are the most highly cultured individuals in Ireland? There would be these chieftains, and guess who? Their sons and daughters. So the chieftains would not accept, but he preached to their sons and daughters, and they accepted it. So these are the most highly cultured people in the country, the chieftain, but also their sons and daughters were. So they were converted. And by them being converted, Ireland started to spread far and wide to become Catholics. But what did these chieftain sons and daughters do? There's a story of a young, beautiful woman that heard Patrick preaching. She was baptized, and she had a dream that said, "Dedicate yourself to virginity, don't marry, but become a religious nun." So she becomes a religious nun and a lot of persecution. But anyway, she becomes a religious nun. So what Patrick does, he starts to spread monasteries of nuns and monks throughout the whole country. His big enemies there in Ireland were called a tribe called the Druids. And maybe you've heard that word, the Druids. But his biggest enemies were the Britons and the Gauls, who were his own people, his own Catholics, that calumniated him and slandered him. As a result of that, what do we have? The literary classics of the Confessions of St. Patrick. Did you know that? You have the Confessions of St. Augustine, but you have the Confessions of St. Patrick. in which he's defending himself against the slanders and the calumnies of his own people. That was where we had biggest problems. His own people, they were Catholics, they slandered and calumniated him. In that also you can read one of the most beautiful prayers written in Catholicism, which is the prayer of St. Patrick. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in my heart. Beautiful, beautiful prayer. So you can maybe Google it in. And in honor of St. Patrick, you can maybe say that beautiful prayer. Now, you look pretty smug, complacent, and comfortable where you are right now, right? Why don't you try to be a missionary? You people come to St. Peter Chanel, we've given you tons of things, no? I feel that I do 99%, at least do 1%, okay? We give you so, so much. Hey, now, time to give. Move on it. Life is short. Move on it. Life is short. The harvest is rich. The labors are few. I consider myself a missionary. And if you give me another 2 minutes, the two greatest missionaries in the world were John Paul II and Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Have you heard of them? I hope you have. John Paul II, greatest missionary after probably St. Francis Xavier and St. Paul, traveled around the world many times. He wrote a wonderful missionary encyclical. And hopefully you'll read it. It's called Missio Redentoris. Missio Redentoris, which is English for the mission of the Redeemer. Let me give you a brief, literary, succinct summary of that document. He says that all of us are called to be missionaries from our baptism. That once we're confirmed, we're called to defend the faith and spread the faith. Right, Eric? We're called to defend the faith, and we're called to spread the faith. However, he says also, where is the best mission territory? When I was a child, I thought of becoming a missionary to go to Africa, to convert those Africans, no? Now Africa is coming here! Some of the best missionaries in the United States are Nigerians, no? They're converting the Americans. It's the other way around. But JP2 says the best mission territory are the big cities. Manila, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, Bangladesh. These big, big cities are mission territories. Do you know the biggest diocese in the United States? If you don't, I'll tell you. You're in it. You're in it. Los Angeles is the biggest diocese in the whole country. Perhaps the most important diocese in the world is Los Angeles because of the modern means of communication. So, my friends, you're living in L.A., what did Father Lena do a couple weeks ago? He's inviting all of you to bring back a Catholic. And John Paul II says in that document there are three different groups of people in big cities. Those who have never heard the Word of God. We're living in neo-paganism. Put that feather in your hat, okay? Neo-paganism. Second is we have Catholics that have to go in ongoing formation as us. It's called permanent formation. And third, the biggest religious group in our country are non-practicing Catholics. So that can be a Lenten proposal for all of you. Bring at least one back. How about one a week? Hey, go for it, no? Be more ambitious. Bring back the wandering sheep to the fold. So, I love the missionary saints, and boy do I pray to them. I love the missionary saints. I mentioned about 10 of them today. So let's ask St. Patrick as well as St. Francis Xavier, these great, St. Peter Chanel, all St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. Let's ask them to give us the fire of divine love. And let's listen to the words of St. Ignatius of Loyola to Francis Xavier. What were those words that he said? He said, "Go set all on fire." Amen.